is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Well, it's the bleak midwinter, and some of you are stopped up and coughing and sucking on cough drops today, driving home or laying on the couch or getting ready to wrap up work at the office. But it's Wednesday. That means it's Ask Anything Wednesday. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is on an airplane headed home. And what I want to ask you is, what do you want to talk about today? Give us a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. And we will talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Ask any question you might have about anything from Scripture, from theology, from current events. And we'll talk about it today on the radio, 877-893-8255. So before you hit the NyQuil, before you start chugging the green stuff, give us a call and let's talk about whatever is on your mind, 877-893-TALK. Before we do, we have a question that has come in by email from Chad, who is writing about Ask Anything Wednesday. And Chad's question is this. He says, God's plan of redemption is through Jesus Christ and all of those who put their faith in him. But what about the people before Jesus? What was God's plan for them? And after death, are they going to be judged the same as those who have put their faith in Christ? What is to become of them? Well, Chad, that's an excellent question. And when you think about the fate, the destiny of Old Testament believers, the Bible tells us what that is. You think about, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, when the writer of Hebrews takes us through all of these examples of faith in the Old Testament and says they were looking at something from far away. They were looking afar off at something out there, and they believed in it. They trusted it. And you think about what Jesus said about Abraham. He said to the religious leaders of his day, Abraham looked to my day and rejoiced in it. He saw my day and rejoiced in it. So Old Testament believers, when they're offering up sacrifices, when they're trusting in God to deal with sin, they are trusting that God is going to deal with sin through a Savior. So they are believing in Christ. And so Abraham, Moses, David, the believers of the Old Testament are saved through the blood of Christ, even as we are. That's an excellent question. But what's your question about whatever you want to talk about? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we will take your calls. We have on the line Terry, who is listening via XM Radio from Harrison, Arkansas. Terry, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great. What's your question today?
Just to say it in a quick way, I had a baby about 3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, I returned to work, and before I had her, I was completely fine, a workaholic, loved work, and I still like my job. But my question is, how do you know, scripture-based, if it's okay? I mean, I kind of, ever since I've had her, I feel like that it's not necessarily my calling to work, but I'm in a situation where I need to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I don't know if there's any scripture to back up women in the workplace, and I just see things every day that leads me to believe that it's not the right way to be.
Well, Terry, where is your baby? How is your baby being taken care of right now?
My mother-in-law has her.
Your mother-in-law is
wonderful.
And you're married. You have a husband there in the home.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a very good question, and it's frankly a question that so many people are grappling with right now, so many couples. I think, Terry, that what you need to see is the way that God designed the family. You go all the way back to Genesis, and God is designing Adam with a primary occupation of working and tilling the ground. He creates Eve with a primary occupation of the bearing of children and the nurture of these children. And you see that pattern throughout the rest of the Old and New Testaments. And there is, as Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy 2, a unique honorable calling that is given to mothers to raise up children, with the father providing for the wife and the children. You think about the Apostle Paul saying, for instance, that a man who will not take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. That's a unique responsibility for the husband and a unique responsibility for the mother to raise her children. Now, what I would encourage you to do, thinking about this through a biblical Christian worldview, is you need to make this child your number one priority. And I can tell you, Terry, the reason why you're feeling kind of uncomfortable about this and the reason it's kind of nagging at you is because you're designed to be a mother to this baby that God has given you, and you want to raise that baby. You don't want your mother-in-law raising the baby during the day, and you're kind of coming in at night. Now, that's not to say it's an easy issue. You're going to have to talk to your husband, and what you're going to need to say is, we need to find a way in our family to make sure that my being home with our baby is our number one priority, and you can do it. Don't believe any of these people who are going to tell you it is necessary to have a dual income in a contemporary American economy. It's not. People are doing it all over the country. Now, that may mean that you have to sacrifice. That may even mean that you have to move out of a house with a large house payment into a smaller house. It may mean that you have to give up having two vehicles. It may mean that you have to give up any number of things, but it is absolutely worth it. And I guarantee you, Terry, that if you and your husband will make that commitment before God, we're going to make this baby our number one priority, and that means that you're going to be at home with the baby. You will never regret it. And 20 years from now, you will not be saying, you know, I just wish that I had pursued my career while my child was young and at home. I promise you, you won't do that. Well, what's your question? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Give us a call, and we'll answer the question. We have Charles, who is listening on XM Radio in Oklahoma. Charles, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi, how are you?
All right. What's your question today?
Well, I'm a Reformed Presbyterian pastor in Oklahoma. I'm a church planner, and I really love your show. I'm just a recent listener through XM. We have a current controversy kind of brewing, has been brewing for at least a couple of years in Reformed Presbyterian circles. It's called the Auburn Avenue controversy,
right.
And it has connection
right.
with the New Perspectives on Paul.
Yes.
And while the depth and breadth of us are very weary of all of this, and we reject the New Perspectives on Paul, I'm just curious to, I have such a high regard for my Baptist brothers, particularly those up in Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and the works that you're doing. I'm just kind of wanting maybe a solid Baptist perspective on this, just to give me your thoughts on it.
And, sure.
What your seminary is saying about the issue at this time.
Sure. Well, our perspective on the doctrine of justification is very, very similar to that of the Presbyterian Church in America, at least the mainstream of the PCA and the Westminster Confession of Faith. We believe that when a person is united to Christ in faith, the righteousness of Christ becomes our righteousness, so that everything that is true of Jesus is now true of us. And that means not only that are we forgiven of sins, but it also means that we are righteous in the sight of God. Now, the controversy that Charles has been talking about is the idea that you can have some people who are covenantally members of the church, and they're justified in a sense because they are baptized Christians, and yet they are not regenerate. Well, we do not believe as Baptists that is, and we share with most of our Presbyterian brothers this conviction, we do not believe that is the New Testament pattern. Instead, those who are justified are regenerated and never fall away from that point of regeneration. They are continually being sanctified. And we also believe that justification is a one-time act in which God declares the believer to be justified on the basis of Jesus Christ, a verdict that God is going to unveil at the last day in the final judgment. So I think a lot of what's going on with this kind of let's rethink the doctrine of justification, let's reopen the doctrine of justification, all of these conversations that are going on have some really really, really harsh implications down the line. For instance, there was someone who is toying around with justification revisions that I heard recently talking about the famous heretic John Shelby Spong in the Episcopal Church, and said John Shelby Spong is a Christian. Even though he's not regenerate, but he's a baptized member of the church, therefore he is covenantally a Christian. I don't think that that's the New Testament perspective at all. I think that John Shelby Spong is a false teacher who is not to be called a Christian, covenantally or not. What's your question? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind from the scriptures, from theology, from politics, from church life. Whatever you want to talk about, it's Ask Anything Wednesday, so I will try to answer virtually anything that you want to talk about today. So give us a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is not Albert Mohler. This is Russell Moore sitting here drinking my Theraflu, living through the cold of winter, and taking your calls about whatever you want to talk about. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I will answer or try to answer whatever you want to talk about. Give us a call, 877-893-TALK. We have on the line Gary, who is driving somewhere in Tennessee, listening on XM Radio. Gary, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
For taking my call. I got a question for
you.
In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about a great deception
that
will fool even the very elect if that were possible.
Right.
And I know that nobody has a problem with murder being wrong, theft being wrong, lying being wrong, blasphemy being wrong. One thing I do notice, though, we make up a lot of excuses for divorce.
Yeah.
Well, if your husband's mean to you, if your wife didn't clean the house for you or something, that's okay.
Yeah.
If an unbeliever departs, then you can marry somebody else. And I don't know of a family one, including mine, where the parents or the children or the brothers or the sisters or the friend or even the couple theirself is in a second, third, fourth, fifth marriage and all this.
Yeah.
What do you think about our acceptance of divorce as being okay and degrading marriage to where the homosexuals use that against us as being the deception that has crept into this country? Because once that gate was open, it seems like everything else for abortion and homosexuals and everything else has just been Katie, bar the door.
Oh, yeah. Gary, I agree with you completely on what you're trying to say here about the way that we are just so accepting of divorce in our churches in a way that just would not have been true 50 years ago. I mean, you think about the way in which people even talk about divorce in our churches now. It's not seen as a tragedy, and it's certainly not seen as a sin that requires church discipline. Instead, we talk about people divorcing almost like we're talking about a high school couple breaking up. And I think there is a great deal of deception in our churches that I think really comes back to people initially wanting to be loving and to be pastoral because we want to minister to people who have been divorced, who have suffered through this. And I think that's a legitimate thing that we need to do. And not to say that we ought to condemn people who have been through the sin of divorce. And yet at the same time, what we've done is in the effort to do that, we've just created a divorce as a new category of a Sunday school class. And so we don't see divorce as what it is in Scripture, which is the ripping asunder of a one flesh union. And I'll tell you, Gary, one of the things, not only the homosexual use of our divorce culture in Southern, in evangelical life and in the Bible Belt against Bible believing Christians, but also just think about what we are saying about the gospel. I mean, you think about what the Apostle Paul says about marriage, and he says that marriage, the union of a man and a woman in a one-flesh union, Genesis 2, pictures the union between Christ and His church. Now, what are people in Christian churches saying to the outside world when we are ripping asunder one-flesh unions all over the place, leaving tragedy in its wake? We're not just saying something about marriage, we're saying something about Christ. We're saying that Christ is not faithful to His church. And I think, Gary, that where this has to be addressed is from pulpits. And frankly, we've got a lot of cowardly people in our pulpits. And I'm somebody who's preaching every week, and I understand how tempting it is to get in the pulpit and say, you know, you can preach against things that don't really affect members of the congregation. I mean, you can get up and make a remark about Hillary Clinton and get an amen. But if you stand up and talk about remaining faithful until death do us part, you realize that we have people in the congregation who are even now going through divorces, and that's going to be controversial. And until you have people in pulpits who are saying, I believe that the Word of God can sanctify our congregations through the faithful preaching of the Word in the whole counsel of everything that it talks about, including marriage, we're just not going to see that change. That's a very good question. Gary, give us your call, your question. What do you want to talk about? Anything that you have in mind, it's Ask Anything Wednesday. So give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK with your questions about the Bible, about theology, about politics, about current events, about church life, whatever you want to talk about. I'm willing to talk about it with you and to answer whatever questions you might have. So give us a call, 877-893-TALK. We have on the line James, who is listening on XM Radio from Atlanta, Georgia. James, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Thank you, Russell.
What's your question today?
We've been unchurched for a while. My wife and I are both Christians and kind of bounced around and weren't attending like we should. We were invited to a messianic congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they're 15% Jewish and 85% non-Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And we have had just the best month, the most blessed time. It's made me hunger to go back and read the Bible, and we're thinking of joining. And before I do anything that strong, and I feel really led by the Lord to at least investigate this,
yeah.
Is there anything down the road that I'm going to be turned off by or hurt by?
Well, not necessarily, James. I mean, when you think about Messianic Jewish synagogues, there's so many different kinds that it's very hard to speak to it. I mean, some of them are just an intentional effort to reach Jewish people with the gospel that is perfectly acceptable. It's cultural contextualization. Now, one of the things I worry about with some Messianic Jewish congregations is that you have in some Messianic Jewish congregations the attempt to take some of the forms of the Old Testament that have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And also, some have an attitude that Jewish believers ought to be segregated out into Messianic Jewish congregations and Gentiles in other congregations. Well, that's just not the teaching of the New Testament. It's Ephesians 2. That dividing line has been broken, has been shattered in Christ. And so I think you need to make sure that this is a congregation that understands the gospel. If they believe the gospel, I mean, you don't want to be somewhere where you are taking on the bondage of the old covenant laws about, for instance, dietary restrictions and that kind of thing. But if it's a Messianic Jewish congregation that says, we're a lot of Jewish believers who recognize Jesus as Messiah, and we are basking in the new covenant freedom of the gospel, then you found you a good Bible-believing church. Just investigate it and make sure. But you don't want to be a part of a group, and sometimes you'll have Messianic Jewish congregations that are mostly Gentiles who just kind of like the novelty of being in a congregation that seems so different. Make sure that that's not what's going on, that it's not a fad. If not, join away and build up the body there in Christ. I have another question coming from Chris, listening on WFIA in Louisville. Chris, quickly, what's your question?
Hey, Russell, quick question. I was worried about trying to make sure I understand fully the Old Testament, the New Testament, how they both work together as opposed to opposing one another.
Sure.
I hear a lot of movement, and it seems like a deceiving movement, but people are only taking the New Testament as that's how we should live and disregarding the Old Testament. I'm trying to understand how we can together.
Okay, that's a very good question. And Chris is wanting to know, what do we do with the Old Testament? I mean, you look at the Old Testament, and a lot of it seems so, well, weird and seems so irrelevant. And you're going through your quiet time, and you come to the book of Leviticus, and you say, scab cleansings. How does that apply to the life of a believer? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. And in the meantime, we want your calls. Give us a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and it's Ask Anything Wednesday, and we want you to ask anything. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, and we will talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'll try to answer any question you might have about the Bible, theology, politics, current events, church life, whatever's on your mind, we'll talk about it. 877-893-TALK. Right before the break, we had a question about the Old Testament. And I believe it was Chris calling asking, what do we do with the Old Testament and how does that relate to the New? Well, the New Testament tells you. You think about the way that Jesus uses the Old Testament, the way the apostles use the Old Testament. The Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. Jesus says as he's walking on the road to Emmaus, he takes them through all of the Old Testament, showing how it points to him. And that's exactly what the apostles do when they're preaching from the Old Testament. They're showing that every line of the Old Testament is showing you how God is using Israel to bring about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you're going through the Old Testament, what you're seeing there is gospel. You're seeing God saying, this is what I expect of my people. And then we look at that and we say, well, I don't meet that. I don't do that. And neither do the people of Israel. You see them constantly falling away. And what is God doing? He is pointing you toward the one who will keep these things, who will obey these things, who will please God. And so when you're seeing the Old Testament, and sometimes it can be so depressing to see all the failures. I mean, think about moving through 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and there's so many just failure after failure after failure. You need to realize when you're reading that, there's some theme music playing in the background that's pointing you towards something that is yet to come. It's pointing you toward those baptismal waters at Jordan when God says of Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But unless we take the Old Testament and love the Old Testament and read the Old Testament and preach and teach the Old Testament, then we don't really have a very clear picture of who Jesus is. And we don't have a very clear picture of what the gospel is. And so we cannot ignore the Old Testament at all. That was an excellent question that was asked, Chris. And we have on the line Joe, who is listening from right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Joe, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. What's your question today?
Well, I'm wondering the best way to accept Christ into my life because I'm 30 years old and I have never been baptized. I've been to several different churches and find nothing that draws me in.
Uh-huh. Well, Joe, what I would say to you is the first thing that you need to do, do you recognize that you're a sinner before God?
Yes.
And do you agree that if God were to condemn you, that God would be right, that you have really sinned against God in terms of your own life and your own conscience?
Right.
Well, then what I would say to you is the first thing that you need to do, rather than worrying about specific denominations or specific churches, is that you need to flee to Christ. And so what I would ask you to do, Joe, is to recognize that God has provided for you in Jesus someone who can fully pay the penalty for your sin. And so if I were you, what I would encourage you to do is to kneel down before God today. And to cry out to God and just ask God, will he forgive you through the death and resurrection of Jesus? And if you trust him, if you trust that Jesus can fully pay the penalty for your sin and can fully make you acceptable before God, God will receive you. He will hear that prayer of a repentant heart, and he will forgive you of your sins. And you trust in that, and you believe in that, looking to Christ for your salvation, and you will be received by the Father. And that's what you should do immediately. And the Bible says whoever cries out to God in faith, believing in Jesus, will not be turned away. Now, after having done that, and I really want to plead with you to come to Christ in that way through faith today, but you do need to be part of a body of believers, people who can share with you and who can minister to you. And what I want to do, I want to invite you. You're here in Louisville. I want you to be the guest of my wife and I at our local congregation. And if you'll stay on the line, Joe, our call screener can give you the church where my wife and I visit. And we want to welcome you into our congregation and talk with you. Maybe it won't be the church that you want to join, but we can help you find a church that would meet your specific needs. But you do need to be part of a body of believers. And we'd be glad for you to be at church with my wife and I maybe this Sunday. And we can, I promise you, have godly women in that congregation who can meet with you and mentor you and shepherd you in the life of Christ. But Joe, what I want to encourage you to do right now, today, is to cry out for mercy and ask God, forgive me through Christ, and I promise you He will. Give us a call with your question, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is Ask Anything Wednesday. We're taking your calls and taking names about whatever you want to talk about. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, and I'll try to answer whatever question you have. In the meantime, let me tell you, that last call was my favorite Ask Anything Wednesday call ever. And I'd like to ask all of the believers who listen to this radio broadcast to be praying for Joe. I mean, here is someone who is calling this radio program saying, I want to come to Christ. I want to be forgiven of my sins, and I want to know Jesus Christ. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel. Let's be praying for Joe and praying for the church community that will welcome her in and disciple her in Jesus Christ. And Joe, I want to tell you, if you're still listening, my wife is going to call you tomorrow. We have your telephone number, and we want you to join my wife and I at our congregation, and we want to help you become plugged in the life of a congregation and to follow Christ in that way. Maybe other people listening to the program today who are in the same situation as Joe. You might listen to talk radio. You might love this broadcast. You might listen to the Albert Mohler Program all the time, but you're just not right with God through Jesus Christ. You're a stranger to the grace of Christ. Maybe you've prayed a prayer. Maybe you've walked an aisle. Maybe you've been a member of a church somewhere for years and years, but you don't have a union with Jesus Christ in your life. You know deep within your heart that you don't stand forgiven before God. Well, I want to encourage you today, just like Joe, that you would flee to Christ, that you would just, wherever you are, stop the car, get off the couch, turn off the radio if you need to, and kneel before God and just cry out for forgiveness, believing that God has raised Jesus from the dead and has counted his crucifixion as your condemnation. And you will be saved if you cry out to God in faith. We have on the line Derek, who is calling, asking about a very unique situation. Derek, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
How are you?
All right. What's your question today?
I have a friend who's Taiwanese, and he's a pastor back in his homeland right now.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking the other day, and he is facing a situation where the culture of having more than one child is frowned upon.
Uh-huh.
He really wants to support in his congregation that children are a blessing and the whole importance of fertility. And he asked me if I knew any resources or any books or anything that could help him in his biblical studies on the subject. I don't know anything at all, and I was wondering if you had anything you could recommend.
Well, Derek, that's a good question. There are all kinds of books about the blessings of children, but I would actually, before I would point him to a book, I would just point your friend to the way in which the Bible speaks about the blessings of children. I mean, all the way back from Genesis 2, where the man and the woman are called to be fruitful and multiply, and frankly, that is not a call simply for the beginning couple. That is seen as God's blessing, that having children are seen to be, as the psalmist says, a heritage from the Lord, a blessing from the Lord. And what your friend need, and the people in his congregation need to realize, is the way in which a culture that is hostile to the gospel, limiting children to one, that's hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ, may be changing their perceptions of the scripture. They need to evaluate that and take that captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an article that was written by a friend of mine named Mark Coppinger called Fruitful and Multiply. And what Dr. Coppinger is pointing out, and I'll put this up tomorrow on the Henry Institute website, henryinstitute.org. I'll have that up by tomorrow, his article about Fruitful and Multiply. What he's arguing is, you know, you hear the myth about overpopulation. And what Mark Coppinger is arguing is that you can fit the entire world in the state of Texas right now. You just don't have the kind of overpopulation that you would hear from those who would say, let's limit children to just one. So what I'm trying to encourage Christians to do all the time is to have babies, have children, and don't just have those children, raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We have Aaron, who is listening on XM Radio in Mobile, Alabama. Aaron, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, Dr. Moore, how are you?
All right, happy Mardi Gras.
I hear you. I got a question. I got a couple questions. One question is this. Once saved, always saved. What do you feel about that?
Well, it depends on what somebody means by once saved, always saved. I believe that no one who is genuinely saved is ever going to fall away from the gospel. But I'll tell you, the way that I was taught once saved, always saved in an otherwise very good home church. But the way it was articulated is once someone has had a decision that has been made, that person is now eternally safe no matter what happens in the life of that person. And so you have people on church rolls all over the place who have prayed a prayer in Vacation Bible School 40 years ago. They're not active in a church. They're not actively following Christ. I would not say that those people are saved. Now, that's not that I say those people have fallen away from the faith. I just don't think that they have ever genuinely come to faith in Christ. And so I think instead of once saved, always saved, what we really need to articulate is perseverance of believers, that a person who genuinely believes in Christ will continue to follow Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that person is going to be sinlessly perfect, but it does mean that that person is going to be continually believing in Christ, continually repenting of sin, even when that person is sinning, and it means that that person is going to be a part of the fellowship of the church. I mean, you think about the way the New Testament speaks of the church. There's just not a Greek word for an inactive member. John says those who went out from us, went out from the congregation, did so because they were not of us. So someone who is claiming to be a Christian but is not actively involved in a congregation right now, locally, has no reason to think that person is a believer. And so that's the problem that I have with once saved, always saved, in the way that we articulate it sometimes. We almost want to say, yeah, the guy who prayed a prayer in Vacation Bible School 10 years ago and is now a Zen Buddhist is going to be in heaven when he dies. Well, no. No, that's not the case. We have on the line Alan, who is listening on WTBN in St. Petersburg, Florida. Alan, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, sir. Got a real quick question for you. As far as repetitive sins go,
yeah,
I've heard it said that if a person is truly repentant, that they will not commit the same sin again.
Uh-huh.
And I question that. I have issue with that because of, for instance, in the Bible, the man that was standing at the wall, beating on his chest, you know, saying, forgive a sinner like me, you know. I hate to say it, but I don't think that you can say that a person is not repentant when they're suffering from something that they have, for instance, an addiction to.
Okay. Well, that's a good question, Alan, that you're answering, and it's probably going to take longer than just this few seconds we have left. So I'm going to come back after the break and answer that question. Can a person be repentant and yet keep committing that sin? We'll answer that when we get back from the break. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and it's Ask Anything Wednesday, and we've been through every kind of question I can possibly imagine, even today. The caller that we just had from St. Petersburg is asking a question about repenting, and can you continue, could you continue to commit the same sin even after you have repented? And my answer to that is, well, yes, but something kind of makes me want to check and say, now, what exactly are you talking about when you say that? Because somebody continues to struggle with sin. We all struggle with the same kinds of sins all of our lives. At the same time, don't tell me that you're repenting of internet pornography until you have, Dr. Mohler and I were talking about this the other day with so many people who are involved in internet pornography, cut off the access. Don't tell me that you're repenting of drunkenness if you're still going to the honky-tonk at night. I mean, you need to deal with these patterns in your life in order to show that there's genuinely a repentant heart. That doesn't mean you're not going to continually struggle with sin. We all do. Very quickly, Gary, listening in York, Pennsylvania on XM Radio. Gary, very quickly, what's your question today?
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I had a question about 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul's speaking as, I know a man in Christ, 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. My question is this: why does Paul speak of I know a man instead of myself, and what is the reference to third heaven? To be different degrees of heaven or what?
Well, I think what the Apostle Paul is doing there is talking about himself. I think that Paul is doing this in a way in which he is saying, I have personal experience of being caught up in an experience spiritually with God. Third heaven is another way of saying to the highest of heavens. He's just emphasizing this experience that he had, but nonetheless then coming back to say the authority belongs in the text of Scripture. We have Mike from Ohio, and Mike, very, very quickly, what's your question today?
Okay, Jehovah's Witness showed me chapter and verse where it says Jehovah is known as God Almighty.
Uh-huh.
I want to show them where it says Jesus and the Holy Ghost are known as God Almighty, chapter and verse.
That's a good question, Mike. And normally where I go with Jehovah's Witnesses who come by my house is to Revelation chapter 1. You ask them, who is the Alpha and Omega? And they will tell you it's Jehovah. Then you turn to the latter part of this reference and you ask, well, when did Jehovah ever die and was raised again? Behold, I was dead, and behold, I live. This is clearly God, clearly the Alpha and Omega, the Creator, and yet also clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to encourage you to do, Mike, and any other believer, welcome these Jehovah's Witnesses in and evangelize them with the gospel. This has been Ask Anything Wednesday. Dr. Mohler will be back tomorrow. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.